I'd go pick up loads of stuff for the Honduran ministry, and he was a good traveler. He'd be talking and just fall asleep, and 2 hours later he'd just wake up and start talking again. Right where he ended, where he quit talking is where he started talking again. He didn't wake up screaming and a hollering and a crying. And I'd have to pull over on the side of the interstate and do my motherly duties, you know. And clean him up and sling it out in the woods and off down the road we'd go. He is very precious to us.
Amen.
This morning, I would assume most everybody here this morning is saved.
Amen.
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 But I think sometimes, especially in the days we're living in, probably for the last 50 years, being saved was just simply enough.
Right. Yeah.
I see that a lot. I got saved 44 years ago, and I hit the ground running. And the only thing slowed me down is my health, my inability to run. But it seems today that people are just satisfied with being saved, and that's a good thing. That's a real good thing. But we're going to have a judgment one day.
Right.
There's going to be a white throne of judgment one day, and there's going to be some mighty sad sad sights there. And I want to teach this morning on 7 things a Christian can lose. I can't lose my salvation, no. You can't sell it. You can't trade it.
Yeah, right.
You're saved, sealed, and sanctified until the day of the Lord. But there are a whole lot of things you can lose. And our world today is full of people who has lost a lot of things in their Christian walk. You know, it's unusual today to find a person that's been in this thing 50, 60 years. Somehow they mess up. It's hard to find a servant of God that maybe for 30 years he was straight as arrow, preached, I mean, hell hot and eternally long, but he kind of wanders off into something else, you know. And I want to show you some things this morning. And most of it you know if you've been here under Brother Carpenter, because I've taught him everything I know.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure he's passed it on to y'all, amen. And then take what, 5 minutes?
Yeah.
So let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll try to finish up here. Father, we do thank you, God, for loving us and being so good to us, Lord. I thank you for this precious church, Lord, and the kindness and friendliness, Lord. I always felt at home when I was able to come quite often. So I ask God this morning that you touch your heart of that and it's down and out. Maybe the one here that don't know you as their personal Savior, Lord, but they just church folks. God, I pray you touch that heart and save that soul this morning. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.
Well, we know if you've been around any kind of solid Bible teaching, we know first of all you can lose your rewards.
Right.
I mean, you know, that's a standard Bible teaching. And rewards is something you'll earn as you serve God or answer the will of God or the call of God on your life. And I don't know how he keeps that record and stuff like that, but I know you can lose them. In other words, you can go to heaven empty-handed.
Right.
After a 40-year life of service, you can end up in heaven empty-handed.
Yeah.
Now you say, yeah, you're going to heaven. You're going to lose your salvation. But, and I'm of the belief, and I have no way of proving this, that there's going to be some little bitty preachers or small preachers or unrecognizable preachers that nobody knows nationwide out in these backwoods somewhere with 10 people that's been there 40 years.
Yeah,
they're going to be way up
that's
the line.
Right. You're right. No doubt.
Amen. Yeah. They're going to be pretty close to the front of the line.
Amen.
And then there are going to be some of these big wheels that God's still trying to find their name in the book there.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I've always, my motto is low and slow. Stay down, boy.
Yeah.
Amen. And you stick your head up, though, devil got a better shot at you.
Yeah.
So you want to stay low. In 1 Corinthians 3:15, if you want to jot these down or follow with me there, if you look there, this is talking about the judgment seat of Christ. A lot of there's all kind of weird teachings about this judgment. It says there in 1 Corinthians 3:15, if any man work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Well, what is he losing? He's losing his rewards. You got to be careful what you do and why you do it.
Yeah.
So many people do a lot of things to be recognized a man or to be bragged on or to get a reward or to be wrote up in a newspaper of some sort. And the person that's going to get the reward is those people that just every day they get up and keep clicking.
Amen.
They're doing something nobody knows about except them. I've had it when I was pastoring there in Birmingham. I had some in there and they couldn't find out for 10, 15 years. They've been doing a certain thing. I didn't have a clue about it. I wasn't supposed to know. That's between you and God.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. And that forms a trust relationship between you and God.
Right.
God knows He can depend on you.
Mm-hmm.
And God will provide for you.
Yes,
amen. And when you got to consider monetary reasons to do a spiritual work, you done got messed up to start with. God takes care of the work.
Yeah.
Amen. And He'll never call you to do something that He won't provide the means in which to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm testimony. I've been in this 44 years. I'm testimony of it. But it says there, it shall suffer loss, but He Himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So He's going to heaven, but He's going empty-handed.
Yeah.
Amen. Revelation 3:11, it says, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown."
Yeah.
We can lose everything. And I probably know quite a few preachers that has lost everything they had earned.
Mm.
You know, I've been in this a long time now. And so you want to guard. You want to, you know, I don't know about you. I don't want to walk before my Savior empty-handed.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Now it says we lay them at His feet, our crowns. I didn't go into writing all this down, but if you've been here in this church, you know this. You lay your crowns before the Lord Jesus Christ to show Him how much you love Him.
That's right.
And the average Christian can get 4 crowns, and preachers and teachers and leaders and stuff like that gets 5.
Mm-hmm.
They have the ability to win 5 crowns. Well, that's when you give them to the Lord to show Him how much you love Him.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Going to be a lot of empty-handed folks.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Going to be sad.
Yeah, amen.
You say, "Well, I had never done a great work." You know what I finally learned after about 20 years of ministry? "Enter thou, my good and faithful servant."
Yeah.
It appears that's all He's judging us on.
Yeah.
Just being faithful.
Amen.
And you say, "Why is that?" That's the hardest thing to be.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. That's
the
good.
Greatest struggle many of y'all have right here in this church is being faithful.
That's good.
And that's all Christians.
Yeah.
Amen. And to get in, stay in. And when the knots come and the traps come and the sadness comes and the heartbreak comes, just get up, shake it off, and go on down the road.
Amen.
You know. So you can lose your rewards. We know that. 2 John 1:8 says this. It says, "Look to yourself." In other words, check yourself. "That you lose not those things which you have wrought, but that we receive a full reward."
Yep, that's right.
You know, and so a lot of Christians, they just satisfied with being a Christian. They pew sitters, they tithers. You say, "Well, I tithe." Well, the Bible says it ain't yours to start with, so you ain't done nothing great by tithing. Does it not say the tithe belongeth unto the Lord? So what have you accomplished by tithing? By giving God His money?
Yeah, right. That's true.
You know, so I wouldn't brag about that too much. It's his to start with. So you can lose your rewards, but also you can lose your joy. And this is what I witness a lot. I pastored some of the people there for 35 years, and I've seen through their Christian life, they'd be a mountaintop valley, mountaintop valley, mountaintop valley. And joy is the thermometer to tell how your relationship is with God. The world can't give you joy.
Yeah.
The world gives you fun. That inner joy, that peace down in your heart can only come from God if you're saved. And joy is something that will help you get up and whistle and smile when your whole world has fell apart. It's a thing that'll guide you back to the Lord and when everything in the world, and you've had heartaches, don't tell me you hadn't, everybody does. We've had them.
Yeah.
Heartbreak, heartaches. People turn on you. People talk about you and run you down. But what you got to do is realize this ain't about me.
That's
this is
right.
About Jesus.
Yeah.
And the Bible says, count it all. What is count it all? Count it all joy, yeah. That's in 1 Peter, 2 Peter there, when they wrote and said, you know, they're persecuting us, talking about us. He said, well, count it all joy. So anytime somebody comes in and rains on your parade because you're a Christian, you ought to make a lap or two around the church. Well, you've done something to affect them.
Right, right.
You know, you've bothered them. Well, my family won't have nothing to do with me since they're going to church. Praise God.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be too good if they kept inviting you over for barbecue and beer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. But I love my mama. Well, then make sure she gets saved.
Yeah.
You know, get her in church. But you can lose your joy. David said this in Psalm 51:12. He asked God to restore unto him the joy of thy salvation, not David's.
Yeah, right.
This ain't our salvation.
That's right, brother.
God's the one that saved us. We didn't save ourselves.
Right.
So he was begging God, and that's after his sin with Bathsheba, and before some of the greatest teachings in the Word of God about getting right with God. Mm-hmm. And he just asked God, he said, I just want my joy back.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, right.
Man, could you just give me a joy relationship? And when you lose that joy of the Lord, and sin is about the quickest thing that'll do that for you, is sin. And don't measure sin by the world's standard. Measure sin by God's standard.
That's right.
A lot of people think they're all right because their buddy down the street that goes to this liberal church over here, he goes out partying every weekend, and he seems to be doing good, and he's playing drums in the band on Sunday morning. That ain't how you do that.
Yeah, right.
Find you somebody else as a good example.
That's right.
Find you a godly man or woman in this church and set your sights on them. Find this preacher right here and his wife. Set your sights on them.
Amen.
Amen. You say, well, they'll let me down. Well, they might not. I've been knowing them quite a while. Amen.
Amen.
And your eyes, look into the author and finisher of our faith. Put your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And everything else. John 15:11. That's ease away from that. John 15:11, it talks about peace with God. And then it talks about the peace of God. And there's two different things there. Mm-hmm. When you accept Christ, you make peace with God.
Right.
But as you live a daily life, you can have the peace of God.
Mm-hmm.
And it says there that it passes all understanding.
Yeah.
And in the ministry, I had several opportunities to witness this. A little 11-year-old boy got killed on a motorcycle that was my oldest son's best friend. We had just won his mama, that whole family, to the Lord, matter of fact. And I seen that little woman, probably been saved 3 months. You're talking about the peace of God. She went through the whole thing with the peace of God.
Yeah.
To the point of laying tracks out at the funeral home, to witnessing to her family who was lost.
Wow.
Only God can do that.
Yeah.
That's only God. And so you want the peace of God. The peace of God will keep you from arguing.
Mm-hmm.
The peace of God will keep you from hating your neighbor.
Yeah.
Peace of God will keep you from being jealous.
Mm-hmm.
Just the peace of God. When you should be crying, smile.
Yeah.
When you should be pouting, shout.
Yeah.
Amen. You come through that door right there with a bad attitude, and you affect 15, 20 people before you get your peace.
Amen.
You will.
Yeah.
You come through that door whistling, humming a good old gospel song.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, everybody in here is whistling.
Yeah.
Amen. And it's a joy. You say, well, ain't that much to be happy about. Well, if you'll go back and think of the blessings of God, there's a lot to be happy about.
Yeah. Amen.
Count your many blessings, name them one by one.
Yeah,
but you know something else you can lose once you're saved is your life. I believe God will take your life.
Yes, sir.
And I also believe He might not take your life, but He'll make you so sick. According to Scripture now, we teach in Bible this morning.
Amen.
And I ain't saying that all sickness is because you're backslidden and wicked.
Right.
But if you get down, I ain't talking about these viruses and all, but some people, like the woman with the issue of blood, you know, if I get in that situation, I had COVID, me and my had the same time. And I'm going to tell you, I thought I shouldn't cross over there for about 3 days. And, you know, I examined myself.
Yeah.
Now, I know it's a virus going around, and I know we catch it. But you got any idea how many people that didn't catch it?
Yeah.
You know? But you want to be very careful there. Look in John 15, 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 1. I know when somebody backslides and they maybe get off getting a bad car wreck and either killed or messed up. You know, sometimes the first thing you want to do, hell, I knew God would get him. That's wrong. God might get you and you sitting in church this morning.
Yes, sir. Right.
Amen. And that don't mean every time you get crossways with God that you're going to get sick. That ain't what I'm talking about. We're not charismatics this morning. It says here in 15:1, I am the true vine and my Father is the husband. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it.
Yep.
Amen. That's pretty hard on us sometimes. Mm-hmm. That it may bring forth more fruit. Mm-hmm. You know, all trouble is not of the devil.
That's right.
All the problems in your life ain't of the devil. Sometimes God's trying to purge you. He's trying to trim you up. He's trying to get the dead limbs off of you. He's trying to get the selfishness out of you.
Yeah, right.
He's trying to get your own directions and what you want to do instead of what he wants to do.
Yeah.
And he'll break you. Amen. He'll break you down to where all you can say, and I'm going to preach on it this morning like David did in Psalm 61, help me, Lord. You ever been there? Just help me, Lord. Wait, well, God said, what do you want to do? Just help me.
Yeah.
Where you want to go? Just help me.
Yeah.
You know? But you can, and then in Acts chapter 5, verse 1 through 11 there, and this is, let's go there and look. I'm trying to keep on my time. Acts chapter 5. See, Christianity has totally, I'm considering myself old school, but I ain't nothing like it was 100 years ago.
Yeah.
If it's in the Bible, I believe it. If it's in the Bible, I preach it.
Yeah.
If God hates it, I hate it.
Yeah.
I don't care if it destroys the whole church. God hates it, I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? If you're doing it and God hates it and I preach against it, you just have to get right or leave.
Yeah.
Well, that's well done the whole time I was pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Are you being hateful? No. There's God's way and there's your way.
That's right. Yeah, right.
And if you're in this church here, why don't you conform to what this church believes?
Yeah.
And teach it. And how they live. And how they behave themselves, you know? But look, if you would, in Acts chapter 5, verse 1. And it talks about a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira. And they sold the possession. Y'all know this story. But they kept back part of the price, which his wife also being privileged to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, what they had done is made a vow. We sell this land, we're going to give it all to the movement. Because Christians in the early years there, once they became Christians, they got shut off, jobs got fired, houses got took away from them. I mean, they were struggling. So this is what was going on here. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price? While it remaineth, well, it is not thine own, which it is. If you ain't going to do what you tell God you're going to do, keep your mouth shut.
That's right.
You live long. You live long. Amen. You shut up. Well, if I had $1 million, I'd give it to the Lord, would you?
Mm-hmm.
Would you really?
Mm-hmm.
You don't know if you would not.
That's right.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Surely God wouldn't mind me just giving him half of it.
Yeah.
And he said, after it sold it, was it not in thy own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart that has not lied unto men but unto God? Mm-hmm. See, your vows and pledges and all that stuff, that's the thing you're doing to God. I guess y'all have faith promises.
Mm-hmm.
See, you don't make that to this church. That faith promise ain't made to this church. That faith promise is made to God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
You're right.
You promised God this is what I'm going to do.
That's right.
So you want to be careful with that. But it, let's go on down here. It said, you know, he died, and they took him out and buried him. In about the space of 3 hours, that's about how long it takes a woman to get ready after her husband leaves for church. So her husband left, and then she finally showed up.
Yes.
She's still putting on makeup and rolling hair, and does this dress make my look big, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But it said about the space of, it was about the space of 3 hours when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in, and she lied and wham, out of here. And I don't know if that would be the situation now, but I was involved in several things through the ministry that I felt like that's probably when that old boy died or that happened. Had a young preacher boy in our church, trained her to preach. Died 33 years old, had a massive heart attack. His wife left him. He married another lady that was a different belief, and she got on him and told him that he didn't have no business preaching. So he told me, he said, "I'm not going to preach no more." And it wasn't a year, he's dead. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen. I don't believe you can tell God you ain't going to preach if he actually calls you.
Mm-hmm.
Bible says his calling's without repentance.
Yeah.
God don't make no mistakes.
Yeah, right.
And how many people that actually has the call of God on their life that's out now doing everything in the world except preaching that ain't doing real good?
Yeah,
troubles and trials and heartaches and kids going nuts on them. Amen. So you got to be careful with making promises, making commitments, making pledges, making vows, and not fulfilling them. You got to be careful with that. Amen. Best give it some thought. Think
yeah.
about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Brother Floor does you faith promise, don't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's real good at that. But I don't ever want nobody just immediately to, you know, pray about it.
Yeah,
think
right.
about it. Give it some thought.
That's right.
And if God lays a finger on your heart, he will meet that need.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he will.
And there again, we're a testimony to that. Our lives. So you can lose your reward once saved. You can lose your joy. And you can lose your life. But another thing you can lose is simply your health. Well, I don't have good health. That don't mean you're backslidden. That don't mean God is punishing you.
Right.
But I'm showing you Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. 1 Corinthians 1:30.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Lord's Supper taking place here. And he tells us there to examine ourselves. I had a grandmother. She died 94 years old. She never took of the Lord's Supper because she never felt that she was worthy. And I don't know. I mean, she's a little 4'10" woman living in the backwoods of Mississippi. I don't know what she would have thought was in her life that was so wicked that she couldn't. But she wouldn't partake of the Lord's Supper. She said, "I just don't feel like I'm worthy." Well, God made a way here to where we can partake of it.
Yeah, right.
You know. Look down, if you would, in verse, let's read down a little bit. In verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, he shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." Now look what God says here. "But let a man examine himself." And that's the way we always done. I think you ought to examine yourself before you get to the church myself.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be bad to just kind of examine yourself every day.
That's right.
Just keep a clean record. You say, "Well, I don't mess up." Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do. "Well, I live a pretty clean life." No, you don't. Not in this world. You go out here and eat wood and build you a bunker and get in there and close the door up, you probably do pretty good.
Yeah.
If you was crazy.
Yeah.
You still had your mind, you ain't gonna do it right.
Yeah.
That old mind get to you. "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthy, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself,
yep.
not discerning the Lord's body." Look what he says. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Talking about they die.
Mm-hmm.
What they were doing here, making a mockery of the Lord's Supper.
That's right.
Some of the more richer people were bringing their fancy dishes and all that. And Paul rebuked them, said, if you want to eat, eat at the house.
Mm-hmm.
When we come down here, let's, you know, we're going to do this different. And he was rebuking them for that. But, you know, and he said, well, I hate to have to keep reassuring you that if you got sick, don't mean you're wicked.
Right, right.
But you kind of have to, we're living in a day and age, everything preacher preach, you got to clarify it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I've had people, I get up and preach about being faithful. Well, here comes this poor old woman, and, well, you know, I've had a heart surgery, and I ain't talking to you.
That's right, yeah.
God, stay home.
Yeah.
I don't want you dying on my watch. Amen.
Yeah.
You do too. Same thing.
You're right.
You're trying to reach that knothead that shows up about once a month.
Yeah.
Or got everywhere else to go except church on Sunday.
Yeah.
That's who you're trying to, you know, get their touch their heart about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I every time. I try to be faithful, but I tell you, my arthritis hurt. I'm not talking to you.
Yeah.
You know? But you know, another sad thing you can lose is the assurance of your salvation.
Yeah, right.
This is probably the greatest one of all that I'm going to show you this morning. Well, I got off and got messed up in that. I don't guess I'm saved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? You can be just as saved.
Yep.
Saved people can do anything lost people can do.
That's right.
Sometimes worse.
You're right.
Remember, you clean the house and in return you get seven times worse. So sometimes it's even worse than it was before you got saved. Because first of all, you let the devil have his way.
Mm-hmm.
And buddy, he's in slinging mud. Because he's got a child of God that he can destroy, plus another 20 or 30 that
that's
he
right.
can take down with him. Lot, in Genesis 19:15, remember when he said, you know, he went and warned his daughters and son-in-laws?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have no testimony. They mocked him and made fun of him. Why? He had lost his testimony.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right.
And he had no testimony.
Yep.
I'm not sure, and I've kind of studied it. Ain't a whole lot you can do about it. I'm not sure that there wasn't 10 of his family members.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't deal with God with 10. He quit for that. He quit before God quit.
Yeah. Right.
And I ain't sure there wasn't 10 of them. But he lost his testimony.
Yep.
Not only did he lose his testimony, he lost his family. How often have I seen young families get out of church, kids become teenagers, then they try to get them back to the church, and they don't want to go. Then they start getting in trouble. And Brother Charlie, could you go talk to him? Brother Charlie, he's in prison. He's got put in jail. Can you go talk to him? I'm no good then. Put up with whatever you got to put up with. Keep that family in church. You get mad or upset at something going on around here, get it straight. Keep your family in church. Hold your head up at home. Don't run everything down at home in front of your kids.
You're right.
Miss Meyer raised our family and pastored all them years. Church business was private business.
Amen.
Amen. Did everything go smooth? Yeah, it might have did for maybe a Sunday morning. By Sunday night, it was done rough again. But I loved it. I loved pastoring. And the greatest job you can have on earth is pastoring God's people.
Yes, sir.
But assurance of salvation. In 2 Timothy 1:12, and you say, well, young Christians, and young Christians, the lady's still there in the church, but I don't think she's ever got settled on her. She's been in church 25 years, and I don't think she's ever settled on the fact she's saved. They probably some people here like that.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't do that if I was saved, or I wouldn't think that if I was saved, or I wouldn't have. Yeah, you can be saved.
Yes, sir.
Amen? And I might have preached it here, but all Christians, let me see how I say that. All saved people ain't Christians.
That's right. Yeah. That's exactly right.
A Christian is a follower of the teachings of Christ. Remember, in Acts, they was first called Christians in Antioch. Well, they 5,000 saved on back there in that tank about chapter 6.
Yes, sir.
A Christian is someone that has the behavior and practice Christianity, tries to live a good life, a clean life, a righteous life, a life that brings glory to God, try to have good morals. That's a Christian. That's when the world can look at you. And by the way, the world named them that.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
They didn't have a little association or gathering up there and say, this thing looks like it's going to take off.
Yeah.
We probably need to come up with us a name for this.
Yeah, right.
They didn't do that.
No, sir.
The world got to looking at them and saying, that bunch of them Christians.
Yeah.
And followers of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Could they look at you and say that?
Mm-hmm.
We go out into the world and the holiness people, they'll do their hair and you spot them in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
And they're dressed. They dress proper.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't talking about the rattlesnake handlers. I'm talking about just good, godly, holy people.
Mm-hmm.
But you spot them. And immediately you say, well, that's a holiness,
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we ought to have that same mark about
that's
us.
That's right.
To where we're dressed in a manner which somebody says, they're probably Christians.
Yeah.
You sit down in a restaurant and pray.
Right.
They're Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Your conversation is something that you don't mind the person next door, next to the table, listening to.
Right.
Why? They're Christians.
Mm-hmm.
How you act, how you dress.
Mm-hmm.
Well, ain't nobody's business how I dress. Yes, it is.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it is. It's somebody's business how I dress.
Mm-hmm.
I stand up here this morning with a pair of overalls on and one strap button. And all the buttons down the side unbuttoned, with no shirt on, and a pair of muddy boots. You say, I thought he was a preacher. What if the guy, while you laying on the surgery for heart surgery, he shows up there at the door of the operating room, and he's got grease under his fingernails, and he got a cut of tobacco in his mouth, and it dripping down his chin. And I don't know about this guy here. I think I'll take my changes, just kind of get me back where I belong, and so it does matter.
That's right.
But the attitude today, it ain't nobody's business. Yes, it is.
Yeah, right.
Every person in here is the best Christian somebody knows.
Mm-hmm.
Every person in here, somebody that you've connected with, associate with, you're the best Christian that they know. And that, chances are, that's going to decide whether they get saved or get lost. And I preach this so often. We don't have the privilege of showing out when our order ain't right.
That's exactly right.
When you go through the drive-thru and you order 2 sausage, egg, and cheese biscuits and you get something wrong, circle around and cuss them out. Actually, you give them a track.
Yeah.
With Hopewell Baptist Church on it.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Take the thing, go on about your business.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Or seems like you get wronged or something. We don't have that privilege.
Because
it's going to end up and bring a bad name to the name of Christ and a bad name to this church. I told my people, buddy, if you ain't going to live right, don't tell nobody you go to glory. Don't hang on to the boat and sink it. Just go do whatever you want to do and just don't witness for the church. But your testimony. And I believe the testimony is the most effective thing we have to win souls to Christ in this world we're living in. Thank God for tracts. Thank God for the internet.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people get blessed off of Brother Mike's preaching here that y'all broadcast. Because a lot of people that are around where I'm at listen and preach. But your testimony on the job.
Yes, sir.
I won 19 co-workers to the Lord in a year and a half on my job when I got saved. They were such a drastic change. And they got where they'd come talk to me. What happened to you? Well, that's a loaded question. We won 19 co-workers. We won me and Miss Meyer. I'd set up dates to go to their house. I worked in the automotive field. I was a mechanic. And the record driver, he was a black fella, and he come in. I was witnessing him, and he said, "Man, I got to go. I ain't got time." I said, "How about let's come to your house?" Come over there, and he was gone on a call. And I took their babies and laid around in the living room floor and played with them. My one heard of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You don't win souls because you don't go after souls.
Amen. That's good. God helps us.
And you got a pastor's wife that does.
Amen.
She was witnessing to the Smokey the Bear out there, Arizona.
Yeah.
Wooden statue standing there.
Yeah.
Elijah the Indian, I saw her witnessing to him one day there in the store. I'm picking at y'all without lighting up a look at it. Amen. But you can lose your testimony, and then something else you can lose. You can lose your peace.
Yeah, right.
When you got saved, you remember your peace?
Yeah.
You remember that when you went home or got saved at your house or saved here in the church? And boy, just the peace of God that passes all understanding just flooded your soul. You just won't tell everybody. Your troubles seem real small. The cares of the world didn't really blow your mind no more. Why, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. If you're like I was looking for the coming of the Lord any day, because that's the way I was preaching it. He'd come any day. Well, every day I'd get up looking. I'm looking for him every day. I mean, he could be today. And I'd get up every morning and I'd pray, "God, send me one person to tell about Jesus today." And that's how I won a lot of them people at my work. First one showed up, I said, "Well, that's him." And I'd witness to him, and maybe later on I said, "Well, maybe that wasn't him." Nothing show up, I'd witness to him.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
And just a good walk with God, good peaceful life.
Amen.
God was directing you, God was teaching you.
Yeah.
Church was exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Soul winning was exciting. Street preaching was exciting.
Yeah.
Reading your Bible. I couldn't put my Bible down. 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm sitting up reading my Bible. I just couldn't get enough of it.
Amen.
And I called my preacher that I was under when I got saved at 1 o'clock in the morning. And he said, "Brother Charlie, could you not write that down and ask me at church?" I said, "Well, I couldn't go to sleep not knowing what that meant." We had a, you know, thank God he's patient. But I'd see things in there, man, I didn't understand none of that stuff. But you want the peace of God. You want to keep your testimony.
Yes.
You might have children out today that you, I don't know what happened. We raised them here in this church. All churches have them.
Yeah. Yeah.
We lost a whole generation of kids one time, about 20, 25 of them. Youth group. I think I kept 2 out of that whole bunch. Mamas and daddies in church, stay in church.
Mm-hmm.
Keep the door open.
Amen.
Keep the welcome mat out.
Mm-hmm.
One day their world's going to fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to come back to Bethel.
Thank you.
Walk right in that door right there.
Yeah, right.
Amen. Because these young kids, they got all these, especially with the internet and the social media. There's a world painted for them that ain't real.
That's right. That's exactly
right. I mean, it is totally deceitful. And it gets them out of church, gets them out of solid Bible-believing churches. Gets them out of youth camps.
Yep.
Like y'all and our kids, best youth camps in the country went to.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them kids had them memory verses and win them things.
Mm-hmm.
You can't find them with a search warrant right now. But I can't help but one day they're going to come back.
Amen.
And it's usually when they get married and start having their babies. Amen. You want to keep that testimony. And then the assurance of your salvation. Every time something happens, don't holler, "Well, I must not be saved if I thought that was. I must not be saved if I believe that." And nothing to do with nothing.
Amen.
Amen. We're fed such garbage 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that our minds are totally destroyed.
Yeah.
I'm talking about good minds.
You're right.
I'm talking about godly minds.
You're right.
You ever tried to check out at a grocery store ain't never failed in more tabloids. Subject matter that you ain't never mentioned to your children. You try to watch a sport event. They keep the camera in the stadium more than they do on the field. We just fed with it.
Yeah.
Fed with it. Fed with it. And it has to affect us.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. It has to affect us. So, just want to, I hope you got something out of that. I probably rushed it a little more than I should, but got a lot of time to have some fellowship. But they are more to lose, but you can't lose your salvation. Get settled on that. And if you ain't never settled on that, you will never amount to nothing for God. You won't never do nothing for God if you ain't settled on the fact I'm saved. All the demons of hell can't do nothing about it. You can stick your tongue out to the devil every morning.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Ain't nothing they can do about it. And just get that settled, and then you can go and build your good Christian life, and you get the judgment seat of Christ, you have your reward or two. And don't judge whether or not you're going to have a reward by whether or not Brother Carpenter's going to have a reward. That ain't how that thing works. It's individual. If God called you to be here at this church and support this work and this pastor, get up every Monday morning, go work, bring your tithes and offerings in here, help with the church maintenance, help with a mission trip, whatever. When you get to glory, you're going to have just as great a chance as me or him or anybody else. Because that's what God told you to do. God didn't call everybody to preach. There's a lot of them preaching that God didn't call, but he didn't call everybody to preach. Amen. So I hope you got something out of what I said this morning.
Amen.
Come, Brother Carter.
Please stay out of the fellowship hall.